The McLean County poverty rate of 13.6% seems a bit low to people who look at such things in the community. The loss of manufacturing jobs, lack of affordable housing, cuts to social service agency funding, and high rates of children that qualify for free and reduced lunches back up that gut feeling expressed by people at a recent League of Women Voters panel discussion on poverty. GLT correspondent Colleen Reynolds reports.
The average person making minimum wage in McLean County would have to work 76 hours a week to be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment here, according to a Heartland Alliance 2018 poverty report. 26% of all McLean County households are considered rent burdened. That's slightly higher than the statewide average. But housing costs are only part of the problem. There are many factors driving residents into poverty. For Starla Hayes, it began when her husband divorced her after 22 years of marriage.
I had three kids. I couldn't deal with getting divorced, so I bailed. I went to drugs and alcohol, and then I came back. I've been back, 8 years now? In 4 years in Mayor's Manor. So my kids are let me back in their lives, but it was a struggle. I mean, when you go down that, the drugs and the alcohol, that's what hurts you. It took my kids a long time to forgive me, and they do now. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for Mayor's Manor. And Tasha, Senna, Tony, you guys have been amazing. If it wasn't for you, I don't know where I'd be.
Located at the southwest edge of downtown Bloomington, Mayor's Manor has 26 efficiency apartments that provide supportive living for previously homeless single adults. It has been almost at capacity since it opened 8 years ago. Director Tasha Davis of Mid-Central Community Action grew up in Chicago Public Housing and lived at Sunnyside in Bloomington.
I know what it feels like to be impoverished. Both of my parents were. My mom worked two jobs, and my dad was in the household, but we were still in poverty. And sometimes we can see that right now in the faces of the children that live in McLean County, because we have the working poor. We have individuals that are working two jobs, trying to make ends meet, and they're not making it.
Gina Campbell falls into that category. She graduated from Illinois State University with a bachelor's degree, but started her first job at $10 an hour and had inadequate health insurance. As a type 1 diabetic, Campbell often had to choose between medications costing close to $1,200 a month and buying groceries.
So there just wasn't a sufficient amount of food or drink for me to intake to increase my blood sugar, which is a completely panic-inducing situation. There's a lot of fear. It's a huge fear component that goes into poverty. Your resources aren't reliable. Your support system isn't reliable. You're basically out there stranded on an island just trying to get by with very little. So I had to consume like year-old snow cone syrup. Like that's where I was at personally. You know, at that point I was like, I can't live like this. I'm working hard, but this, I can't do this. So I sought out another job, and I sought out a job specifically that would allow me to access government benefits, because I couldn't, if I made a couple dollars more, wasn't going to be enough. I couldn't make, you know, $20 more. That's not really realistic based on the experience or my education. So I obtained a job that paid less so that I could have access to those resources, which ultimately did not make the situation completely better. I don't think that this is often talked about, but like SNAP dollars, you're not given a sufficient amount. It's not enough, and I won't go into the details about why I think that is, but it was never enough.
Campbell quotes research by an ISU graduate student showing 45% of college students nationally face some type of food insecurity. Campbell is now working towards a master's degree and, with help from Normal Township Supervisor Sarah Grammer, started the School Street Food Pantry that operates out of First United Methodist Church in Normal. She still struggles due to a lack of a livable wage combined with internship requirements and time spent on rigorous coursework. Many churches offer helping hands. Jana Vernon is part of the ministry at Abundant Life Church in the heart of downtown Bloomington that ministers to people living on the margins every day. A few years ago, while living in another city, Vernon was homeless herself for a while. She says poverty dramatically changes a person's life. She said being homeless makes people so vulnerable they're willing to sacrifice values and often make poor choices. Vernon says shame associated with poverty can be isolating as friends and a previous life slip away.
Your social group might come alongside you for a little while, but if you don't get your situation resolved, eventually that kind of wanes, and then you find yourself not as involved with that same social group, and you probably end up hanging out with people who maybe live more kind of like in the seedy side of society or the underbelly of society. People will come together who share those same struggles because they have an altruistic bond, and they can kind of relate and feel comfortable with each other because they don't have to confront the fact that they don't have the financial resources to do the things that others are doing. They can all kind of like share in their sort of like being down on their luck experience together. So it affects your life on a number of levels, and it can be even more difficult to come out of it because sometimes even with just getting jobs and stuff, you need resources even just to get a job, whether it's the transportation or you need to buy clothes to wear to work or help with resume building and stuff like that. Or if it's even just that you don't have a home address, there are certain things that you're going to have to miss out on just because you don't have a mailing address. So it becomes a pretty precarious situation. And if there isn't some kind of intervention that happens sooner than later, it does become something that has a pretty serious negative impact on public health.
I'm assuming you're talking about yourself, your experience?
That has been some of it's been my experience personally, yes, but I've also seen that become the experience with some of the women I've ministered to and stuff like that. They have a long road ahead of them as far as regaining a sense of autonomy and self-efficacy and having the ability to just be confident that they can take care of themselves. It's definitely an uphill battle.
Vernon was asked about what contributes to poverty. She says trauma can have a crippling effect.
I think sometimes it can also be that if you have some kind of underlying mental illness, that can affect your ability to work and to function. And if you don't get treatment for that or the kind of help that you need, it can be a downward spiral and you can find yourself without support or a job. Or even if you're in a relationship that is abusive, there's a controlling element that prevents you from necessarily always being able to be kind of transparent about your life. You spend a lot of time hiding things when you're in situations like that because it's embarrassing. And so there's just a number of factors that can play into losing employment and ultimately being homeless or on the streets.
Meanwhile, Lisa Herzig says she suffered trauma at age 13 when her mother went to prison and Lisa went to foster care.
I ended up getting into one abusive relationship after another because at that point in my life, that was all I knew.
Herzig wound up at the YWCA's Labyrinth House.
I suffer from a lot of mental illness from it all, being traumatized through this all, and it affected my life a lot, and I stayed in certain situations because I had no choice. I had no other place to go. I would have been homeless without anything to eat, not knowing where to go at all. So it forced me to be stuck in a lot of situations that were not meant for me, and which ultimately led to my own incarceration. And which, you know, thank the Lord, it wasn't all that long, but it was long enough to, I lost my job. The job that I had was, you can't have a criminal record and still do this job. So I lost my job. I lost my home, which made me lose my car. Losing my car, I had no way to get to anything. It really put me down. I had nothing. Nobody. And that's when I found the Labyrinth. I was actually in a domestic violence shelter after having my neck fractured. And I was in the shelter and I came to the Labyrinth, and that's when they approved me for the program, and I was then put on a waiting list. And like she said, I've been there since July, and programs like this are the best in the world. They really are. I mean, they help with so much that it's, I don't even know how to say thank you sometimes. I mean, I really don't. I would still probably be in that same abusive relationship. I would still probably be doing some of the things that I was doing. But because of programs like this, I was able to get out and I was able to make something of my life.
Kara Ault directs the Labyrinth program for women who've been in prison or jail and who need a variety of support, including transitional housing, job coaching, and transportation.
For anyone in the transitional living program, they do have to attend some groups to be in the program, and then outreach is invited as well. But we do things like communication skills, anger management, healthy relationships, and trauma recovery, and we host an NA meeting every week as well, and also self-care. So we kind of try to touch on all the topics there. And then we do case management. So I say we will do anything that they need help with, and if we can't, we will guide them to someone who can. So, you know, we try to do our best all around. And just with transitional living, they can live with us for up to 2 years.
Pat Turner also grew up in poverty. She says she wanted to be a part of the solution, even as others reached out to help her.
Thank goodness there were family church members that reached out and brought food to my house. Now, what they didn't know at the time was that God had given me a vision that I would run a food program. And when I saw them there at my door, I went, that's what I was supposed to be doing. And I actually took those bags of groceries that they shared. We kept one for our family, and we started the Center for Hope food pantry with the second one. I share that story because it's important that we understand that poverty must not be seen as just a problem to be solved. There are quality people who are facing poverty, who are challenged.
Turner says poverty often compounds simple problems such as a slight illness. Without sick days or money to cover unexpected child care, low-income people easily lose jobs. Turner says helping those suffering from the effects of poverty is important. Equally, if not more important, Turner says, is addressing systematic issues that cause poverty, including racism, sexism, and pay inequality. More affordable housing could also help. According to a McLean County Regional Planning Commission study, rent subsidies are available to fewer than 1,500 of the 8,000 households who need help. I'm Colleen Reynolds.
The League of Women Voters of McLean County will have another forum February 26th addressing how McLean County can overcome its shortage of affordable housing.